Good morning. Happy New Year.
Wow, I get to see some familiar faces. This is really great.
This morning I would like us to consider doing something a bit different. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Okay, a few of you are honest enough to admit that you've decided to change something in your life for the new year. Okay. How many of you have already, this will be the harder part, how many of you have already broken your New Year's resolutions? Okay, a few of you. Okay. I would like us to begin thinking along the lines of, God, what would you have us do in 2009? And begin formulating some prayers in our heart that helps us to jump into 2009 being wide open to God's movement in our lives. The prayers are not, God bless me and help me lose 10 pounds. I almost said kgs. 10 pounds. That's not our prayer. It's not, God bless me and help me get higher grades this year. For those of you that are students. It's not, God bless me and give me the man or the woman of my dreams. Please. That's not the prayer either. It's also not, God bless me and give me more Facebook friends than Sandy Young has. That's not our prayer this morning. Okay? Our prayer this morning is a bit more challenging for me especially, and it might be for you as well. But before we get there, I would like to pray for us. Father, as we come before you ready to come into a new year and to see the challenges and the things before us, we come to you and we say, God, help us. Help us as we come into a new year to be men and women and young people that desire to see you move, to be challenged by you and to be moved by you. And to jump into the needs around us, Father, help us to do that. God, the world is in a mess, and you call us to bring light. So help us do that. I pray that your Spirit would move this morning, that you would stir my heart. Help me to see you more clearly, Father. I pray that your Word would reach me first and stir me. But that your Spirit would just have free reign this morning, God. Challenge us. Help us to see you more clearly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This prayer this morning, I'd like us to begin to say together. All right, at the end of the service, those of you that would like to pray this prayer, I'll just repeat it. It'll be very simple. And you can join me if you'd like to. The first element of this prayer is, God, stretch me. God, stretch me. For a passage that we could turn to this morning, Hebrews 11:6. Some of you know this by heart. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because if you're going to come to God, you must believe that He exists and that He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't mean that it's possible you're going to slip in somehow. If you're living a life that's not a life of faith, it's not possible for God to be pleased with you. Bottom line, it's not possible to please God without faith in your life. That seems quite plain, right? Without faith, impossible to please God. Because if we're going to come to God, we must first believe that He exists. Sometimes we live as practical atheists. Practical atheists. We believe in our heads that God exists, but we live lives that don't reflect that. We live lives that don't reflect the fact that God exists. If He asks you to slip into a situation, put something on your heart, tells you to pray for someone, what is your response? What is my response? Sometimes I find myself living this way, where I understand, sort of, about the God of the universe
And I believe in my head that He's great, that He's awesome, that He's mighty. And my life doesn't reflect that. I fear. I get afraid to step into situations that are a bit different for me, that make me uncomfortable. I don't expect God to come through all the time. Have you ever prayed for something, but in the back of your mind you don't really think God's going to do anything? Practical atheist. We live as if God doesn't exist. But the first part of faith, that we believe that He exists. Our lives reflect the fact that God exists. He's on the throne. He calls us to follow Him. Jesus was given for us. And then He calls us to follow into His plan. We believe that He exists, but secondly, that He's the rewarder. It's not our stuff that is our reward. We look pretty comfortable this morning. We're all dressed with fairly clean clothes. I don't notice any smells that I sometimes notice when I'm working where I work. Right, we're fine, right? We're comfortable. You look pretty happy, most of you. You look awake, most of you. You know, we're all doing okay. But my computer went down and I was like really tense about that. I have stuff backed up, but I'm looking for files last night on my backup. And I'm struggling finding stuff. And I'm getting nervous. You know, where is this thing? I can't find it. And so one of the things we do when I'm in town, or when we're in town this time, is I need to buy a new laptop, which I did, and I got a great deal and all this kind of stuff. But I felt so much better after I'd found my laptop. I have it, you know. It's in my hands. I can start putting programs on it. Our stuff, right? It's all these things that make us comfortable. Where God calls us to be stretched, to live lives of faith, believing that He exists and that He's the reward. It's not that our reward is in our things and in our comfort, but it's in God. So that if the bottom falls out, and sometimes that happens, and sometimes we've seen that, and sometimes you've experienced that, when the bottom falls out, He is still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Maybe a good question for us is, are there things going on in my life that will absolutely fail if God doesn't show up? Are there things that I have going on that if God doesn't show up, I'm finished? Are there things in your life that if God doesn't show up, you have no idea how things are going to sort out? Stretched. God, stretch me. Stretch me. The thing is, we're very capable people, and we can operate nicely. Levo, right? We can operate nicely in our own strength. It's easy, right? We can do that. But that's not going to please God. That's not a life of faith. It's waiting on Him. It's being led by Him. Letting Him stretch us into some places that we're not comfortable with. God, stretch me in 2009. Okay? This next one is a little bit harder to get your brain around. Okay? God, ruin me. That's exciting, right? God, ruin me this year. I want to be ruined. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I've heard this passage preached from this pulpit powerfully. And I'm not going to try to do that this morning. But I want us to see what happens to the prophet Isaiah when God steps in. Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. The year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This prayer is right on all of our lips, right? God, ruin me. Tear me up, God. Make me undone, which is another way to translate this phrase. Make me undone. Take me apart. Isaiah had an experience of God that was so powerful, it just tore him to pieces. He saw God and he saw the glory of God, and he was ruined. He was finished. Do we want to see God in such a way that we're willing to be taken apart? Willing to be ruined because we want to see God that much? Some of you I know fairly well. Some of you I don't know so well. So I'm going to tell a few stories that might help to bring some of you up to speed with what's going on with us and how things have progressed in our lives. Early 90s, which is a while ago, God began slowly to ruin us. And it's not a completed process, but he just began to challenge us to get involved in the work here. So we started working with Junior Church, which was great. And I saw Peter Durrell this morning, and Ashley Thompson was in that Junior Church class. All these little guys, right, that are now big guys. And God began to work in our hearts and to challenge us. And then in 98, we were involved with high school ministry here and took a crew to the Dominican Republic. Meredith Hedrick was here this morning. I think Katie Schnecker was in that crew. And we saw poverty like we had never seen it before. Immense poverty. Intense poverty. And we went doing dramas and trying to do our thing to help people find Christ. And we saw God begin to work. But he worked in us as well as working in the people we were ministering to. And he began to change us and challenge us and help us to see that the world was a very different place. That the world was a very needy place. Poverty is intense. People are in darkness. And he began to challenge us to help make a difference. That continued on and on. And God continued to move and led us to South Africa. Where we've continued to see this same thing going on, where God challenges us, and we are working with young people, and we're seeing Him move in their lives as He moves in ours as well. One of the things we've been working on this year is a project called Zana Kanyo, which is a job creation project, basically. We did research at the end of 2007 and found that there are hundreds of jobs available in our area. The problem is that people don't know how to access these jobs. They're just not equipped to get into the formal job market for lots of reasons. And in interviewing business people, we found out that the most important thing that they were looking for in employees was honesty, integrity, trustworthiness. Surely the church can step into that vacuum, hey? So as we try to bring Christ to people that we're working with, we also want to bring hope, right? And help them to be able to provide for themselves. So that's what the church is trying to do. Unemployment, the figures the government puts out says about 22% or something, which is not even half what is actually on the ground unemployment. So part of bringing light to a place and being ruined is in these steps. We see that God begins to show us ways that He wants to make a difference. In this program, we had 31 people, which is not a lot of people, finish this two-week course that has sort of created out of this training, this research. 14 people are now in jobs that weren't in jobs before, which is not a lot. It's not a lot. And we're trusting God for some more next year. But of those 14, normally a job holder, a wage earner, impacts another 5 to 7 people. So you can see how the progression works. And that, you know, soon you're impacting other people. So it's bringing the gospel. The church can step in and say, these are what employers are looking for. They want people of integrity. They want people of honest character. People are going to show up on time. God has created you in His image, you know? And we can just minister this way in a situation where there is such tremendous need. But it's incremental as we go. And we see God move in us and move in those around us and ruin us to use us for His glory. But this doesn't just happen in Cape Town. It's been exciting. We get the bylines, right? Sandy's great about sending out bylines so we know what's happening. We get the bulletins and we know what's happening. And we realize that the detention home ministry is still going on here, which is very exciting. It's very exciting. Because we know that those of you that are involved in that ministry are seeing the rock face of brokenness when you minister. You're walking into a place that is very, very difficult. And it requires you to lean on God and say, God, I have no idea how to deal with this person who's struggling with a situation I can't even comprehend. These kids come from homes where they have no parents. They're staying with grandma or somebody. There's abuse. There are all kinds of things, and you guys are stepping into that. And you're ministering, and you're providing hope in situations where there is no hope. Good job. Way to go. Being ruined for the gospel is what we're called to do. So, the problem is that sometimes when we are ruined and we see God in His glory, our vision becomes a bit blurry. It starts to wear off. It fades. So the challenge for me, and maybe for you as well, is that God, this year, 2009, ruin me afresh. Ruin me for You. Help me to see You in a new way. God, here am I. Send me into the places that are difficult. I'm willing. I'm ready to go, God. I don't have any idea what You're going to do. But take me. Send me. Use me for Your glory. Ruin me in 2009. Stretch me. Ruin me. But the third thing is to heal me. If you turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, 14 through 22. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. He was giving orders to them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up?" And they said to Him, 12. When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, seven. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? I think there are two levels of healing that we need as we begin to complete our prayer for 2009. The first healing we need is that our eyes could see clearly what God's doing around us. God, heal our eyes so that we can see what you're doing around us, the ways that you're moving, that we can follow you more clearly. The disciples were with Jesus 24/7, right? And they get in the boat and they start talking about bread. And Jesus isn't talking about bread. You find that in this passage, it's not about the bread. Really. It's not about the bread. But they can't see what Christ is doing. They're not quite getting it. So first, we need healing of our eyes, that we can see what God's doing around us, how Christ is leading us, how He's challenging us, pulling us into things that are not comfortable for us. But the second thing, that I think we also need healing from our own brokenness. We need healing from our brokenness as well. I need healing so that I can see what God is doing around me, that I can step into areas where He's working, that I can see the needs of people next door to me, or in class with me, or at work with me. And I can begin to minister God's love there. But also that I can actually see the brokenness that's within me. Is there arrogance within me that God needs to root out? Is there pride? Is there brokenness from something that happened a long time ago that God needs to heal in my life? Is there a relationship that's broken in my family or in my circle of friends? Or in my church? Did somebody at church look at me the wrong way and I took an offense to that? Is there brokenness within me? So God, heal me. Heal the brokenness so that I can begin to see you more clearly. See where you're working. And see where I need you to step in and provide what I can't provide. The South African society is broken on many, many levels. The government's broken. There are cultural relationships that have not mended. We see some encouraging things, but there's also some things going on that are discouraging. That we see just this brokenness of relationships and culture and the poverty. And the kids we work with, many of them come from divorced families. Many of them are struggling, come from some abusive situations. And so we see all this brokenness around us, but we realize that God can heal. That He can step into a life and heal brokenness and begin to set people on the path of healing. Excuse me, of healing. It's a slow process, and sometimes it looks like the light is actually going out. But then we see some change. We see light begin to come again. We see people begin to walk in God's Spirit and find healing for their brokenness. To be healed, though, we've got to first admit that we're sick or that we're broken, right? The first thing that we have to admit is that, God, I need healing in this area. Might have to admit something that we've ignored, or we've stuffed, or we've put on the back burner, or we just don't want to deal with and say, God, I'm bringing this to you because I want healing. I want you to step in. I want you to help me to be able to be more effective for you. Maybe we're overcritical, right? Maybe we're control freaks. And I've got all these things in my personality that I'm like, God, take these things out. Pull them away from me. My family sees them, and they're gracious enough not to give me too hard a time about stuff. But those closest to us see the brokenness in our lives. As we go into 2009, let's ask God to heal us. To take these things and fix them. When we come to Christ, He brings us peace. He brings us life. But we come to Him with all these things that need fixing, and He can do it. Let's ask Him to do it in 2009. God wants to restore us. He wants to. And He can do that, and that can be our prayer. So, are you ready? This is what I would like us to do. I would like us to pray, if you would like to do that, to join with me as we pray for 2009. Pray that God will stretch us. Pray that He'll ruin us. And then pray that He'll heal us. Can you join me in that? God, stretch me. Go ahead. If you're ready, say that with me. God, stretch me. God, ruin me. That was a lot quieter than the first one. God, ruin me. God, heal me. God, heal me. Father, thank You for the gift of Your Son and the gift of life as we walk into this new year. God, stretch us. Don't let us be comfortable, Father. The world around us is spinning into just chaos. We ask that Your kingdom would come and that You would bring revolution into lives. Stretch us. God, ruin us. Help us to see Your glory. Help us to be like the prophet and just be undone. Because we see You and we realize that You've called us to step in. Send us, Father. Send us to the places around us that are so desperately in need of You. Help us to be eager. Help us to want to get to the front of the line, Father, as we realize how awesome it is to be a child of the King. And then, God, heal us. Take the brokenness that's around us. God, take the scales from our eyes and help us to see the needs. And help us to see where You're working and to join You in that. And then, God, heal us from the broken places within our lives. That we can find peace. That we don't just keep stuffing things, Father, that we don't want to come to the surface, but that You actually take them and You heal them. I pray that this year, Father, would be an amazing year as we see You work and challenge us and stir us and draw us into Your kingdom work. In Jesus' name. Amen.